All right, so let's imagine it's 1954. The Supreme Court has just made this huge decision in Brown v. Board of Education to desegregate schools. Everyone's trying to figure out, like, okay, how do we actually do this? How do we make schools equal? But there's this this little legal loophole that could have let segregation, kind of stick around, at least in certain places.
Really? That's fascinating. And that loophole is a direct result of how our Constitution is set up.
It really is. It's a really interesting problem, and that's what our deep dive today is all about. We're going to look at this case, Bolling v. Sharpe. You might not know this one as well as Brown v. Board, but it's just as important, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Bowling, like Brown, is also about segregation in public schools, but this one has a twist. It's about schools in Washington, D.C.
Which is not a state.
Exactly, it's a federal district.
So that really changes things because the big tool they used in Brown was the 14th Amendment. To get rid of segregation in state-run schools. But that doesn't apply to DC directly.
Exactly. The 14th Amendment says what states can and can't do. It doesn't really say anything about what the federal government can do.
So the lawyers who were fighting segregation in DC, they had to like get creative, right?
They had to find another way.
They had to find a different way to say the federal government, has to follow the same idea of equal protection. Even if the 14th Amendment doesn't say so directly. This is so interesting. Tell me more.
And that's what makes bowling so important. It made the Supreme Court answer this big question. Does the Constitution prevent the federal government from discriminating based on race, even without the 14th Amendment?
Okay, so for our deep dive today, we've got a three-part mission. First, we got to understand the legal puzzle that Bolling presented and how the court solved it. Then we need to figure out why bowling matters so much. Like, why is it important beyond just DC schools? And finally, we'll look at the lasting impact of this case and how it shapes how we understand equal protection under the law even today.
Sounds good. To give you a little background, let's rewind to 1951. A group of African American students in DC were denied entry to a new all-white junior high school.
Seriously. Just because of their race.
That's right.
Wow. It's crazy to think that happened.
It was blatant discrimination, and naturally, the families were outraged, so they filed a lawsuit in federal
I
court.
mean, of course they did. They had to fight back. What happened next?
Well, this is where that loophole we talked about kicks in. The district court dismissed their case.
No way.
Believe it or not, there were legal precedents that actually allowed segregation in DC public schools.
Wow, it's mind-boggling that such a clear injustice was allowed, but I guess that's how it was back then.
It was a different time.
But I'm guessing the families didn't stop there.
You're absolutely right. They appealed the decision. But before the appeal could be heard, the Supreme Court decided to take on Bolling alongside Brown v. Board.
Oh, wow.
They recognized that these cases were deeply intertwined and they needed to be addressed together.
That's a huge step. It shows they understood that they needed a comprehensive solution to segregation. So, how did they tackle this legal puzzle in bowling?
Especially since the 14th Amendment, with its equal protection clause, didn't apply to the federal government. The lawyers representing the students had to get creative. They found their argument in the Fifth Amendment.
Wait, the Fifth Amendment, the one that people plead the fifth with?
That's the one.
What does that have to do with school segregation?
Well, people usually think of the Fifth Amendment in the context of criminal cases,
Yeah.
but it's got more to it than that.
Oh, okay.
It also has the Due Process Clause, which says you can't be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
Okay, I see where this is going. But how did they connect due process to segregation in schools?
That's the brilliant part of their argument. They said that segregation itself, by stopping black students from getting an equal education, was a violation of their liberty.
Oh, I see.
Imagine a town banning all red cars.
Oh, okay.
Might sound silly, but that's basically what was happening here.
So they were being denied a fundamental right, their right to a quality education, without any good reason or a fair process. And they argued that Pluker violated the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause. That's pretty bold.
It was a bold and innovative strategy that forced the court to think about the core meaning of due process and how it connects to equal protection. And this is where things get really interesting. And you know what? The court agreed with the students.
Really?
Yep, unanimously.
Wow.
In a decision written by Chief Justice Earl Warren,
Okay.
they said that segregating DC public schools did indeed violate the Fifth Amendment.
That's a huge win. But how did they get there? I mean, the Fifth Amendment doesn't actually say anything about equal protection, right?
You're right, it doesn't. And that's where Chief Justice Warren's opinion gets really interesting.
Sure.
He basically said, look, the Fifth Amendment might not have an equal protection clause like the 14th, but
yeah.
The ideas of due process and equal protection,
okay.
They're connected.
Yeah.
They both come from this basic American idea of fairness.
So it's not about the exact words.
Right.
It's about the principles behind them.
Exactly. Warren argued that discrimination can be so bad, so unfair,
yeah.
That it violates the very core of due process.
Okay.
And he went on to say that anytime you classify people based only on race,
uh-huh.
That's immediately suspicious.
Uh-huh.
And the courts have to look at it very, very carefully.
Hold on. You said highest level of scrutiny.
Yeah.
That sounds serious. What does that actually mean?
It means the government can't just get away with anything. They can't just say, oh, we're doing this because it's easier, or this is how we've always done it. Mm. No. They have to prove they have a really, really good reason for treating people differently based on race.
Okay.
And they have to show that what they're doing is the only way to achieve that goal.
That's a tough standard to meet.
Right.
So in the case of segregation,
yeah.
Did the government actually have a good reason?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
The court said there's no legitimate reason to segregate schools.
Yeah.
They actually said it does the opposite.
How so?
It takes away liberty from black students.
Okay.
By denying them the same chances to learn.
I read Chief Justice Warren's opinion. He said it would be unthinkable to let the federal government segregate schools.
Right.
When the Constitution says states can't.
It's just not fair.
That's such a powerful statement.
It really is.
It shows what bullying accomplished.
Yeah.
It closed this loophole.
Right.
They could have totally undone everything Brown achieved.
Exactly. Imagine if bullying hadn't happened. The government could still have segregated schools, parks, libraries.
Wow.
All because they were federally run.
That's crazy. So bullying wasn't just about schools then.
Nope.
It was about this bigger principle.
It was.
That the federal government has to follow equal protection too.
Exactly. And that's what we call reverse incorporation.
Okay, reverse incorporation.
Yeah, so the 14th Amendment, like we said, that's about states.
Yeah.
But Bowling took the Fifth Amendment's due process clause.
Okay.
And used it to get the same protection from the federal government.
So it kind of flipped the script.
Exactly. Clever, right?
Yeah, that's really smart. So Bowling closed a loophole and made sure the federal government had to care about equal protection. But what about, like, its long-term effects?
Right.
How did this case shape the law in the years that followed?
Well, bowling has had a huge impact.
Really?
Yeah, it set the stage for using strict scrutiny, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Whenever the federal government does something that involves racial classifications, and that's been so important in fighting discriminatory policies.
Okay.
In all kinds of areas.
Yeah.
Housing, jobs, voting rights. Even the criminal justice system.
So it wasn't just symbolic then?
Not at all. It had real teeth.
Okay.
And it continued to matter for decades after.
Wow.
For example, there was this case in 1995, Adirond Constructors v. Pena.
Okay.
It was about a federal program that gave preference to minority-owned businesses for government contracts.
Okay.
The court, using bowling, applied strict scrutiny and said the program wasn't okay.
Interesting. Why not?
They said it wasn't specific enough to actually fix past discrimination.
Oh, I see. So bowling set a precedent.
Yeah.
That's still relevant even in cases that aren't directly about segregation.
Right.
It's really amazing how it changed things.
It really is.
But this raises another question for me.
Okay.
Does this mean the federal government has to meet a higher standard of equal protection than states?
That's a great question.
Because, you know, the federal government's supposed to be the one protecting rights.
That's what makes bowling so fascinating.
Okay.
Chief Justice Warren's opinion seems to suggest that, yes, the federal government might have a stricter standard.
Hmm. That seems a little weird.
It does, doesn't it?
Why would the federal government have a harder time?
Well, it's complicated, but one argument is that the federal government, unlike individual states, they have these specific powers from the Constitution to deal with national issues.
Right, like civil rights.
Exactly.
So they have more power.
Right.
And therefore, more responsibility.
Exactly. But here's the thing.
Okay.
Later Supreme Court decisions haven't been totally clear on this.
Really?
Yeah, they haven't really said for sure whether that standard is truly higher.
Oh, okay. So it's still up for debate.
It is. Legal scholars are still arguing about it.
So bowling made this distinction.
Right.
But then later cases kind of muddled things up.
A little bit, yeah.
It's like they introduced this idea of a higher bar for the federal government, but then didn't fully stick with it in later rulings. So this is fascinating stuff. We've got this big ruling in Bolling that seems to set a higher bar for the federal government when it comes to equal protection.
Yeah.
But then later cases kind of made things less clear.
Right.
What does all this mean for us today? You know,
Right.
like what's the takeaway here?
That's the question, isn't it? Has the Supreme Court really abandoned this idea
Yeah.
that the federal government has to meet a higher standard? Or is it still lurking there somewhere,
Right.
waiting for the right case to bring it back into
It's
focus?
like a puzzle, a legal mystery still waiting to be solved.
I like that.
But maybe before we get too deep into constitutional theory,
Yeah, good idea.
let's just step back for a second and remind ourselves what the key takeaways from Bolling are.
Sounds good.
So to summarize, Bolling v. Sharpe, this case that was decided right alongside Brown v. Board,
Right.
it basically closed a loophole that could have allowed segregation to continue, but at the federal level. And it did this by cleverly using the Fifth Amendment's Due Process Clause
Yeah.
to guarantee equal protection, even when the 14th Amendment didn't directly apply to the federal government.
It was a brilliant legal strategy.
It really was. Bolling made sure that the fight for desegregation wouldn't be limited to just the states.
Right.
It said that the federal government has to uphold equal protection under the law, too. So
Exactly.
even when the Constitution doesn't say something explicitly,
Yeah.
the principles of justice and fairness are still there, you know? They still matter.
They're at the heart of everything.
Right. And Bolling set a precedent for future cases.
Yeah.
Cases about discrimination by the federal government.
Definitely. That idea of reverse incorporation, using the Fifth Amendment to make sure the feds follow equal protection,
Right.
that's had a huge impact on constitutional law.
So it's like we've got the 14th Amendment over here, making sure the states are behaving themselves. And then Bolling comes along and uses the Fifth Amendment like a mirror to reflect that same light back onto the federal government.
Love that analogy.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Bolling v. Sharpe,
Yeah.
we'll leave you with one final thought-provoking question.
Okay, hit me.
Did Bolling actually create a higher bar for the federal government when it comes to equal protection? Or did later Supreme Court decisions create some confusion
Yeah.
about just how much scrutiny should be applied to what the federal government does?
It's something to think about for sure.
It is. And we encourage everyone listening
Yeah.
to check out the case law themselves, see how Bolling has been used and interpreted over time.
Right. Maybe you'll even discover arguments that change how we see this case.
Because, you know, exploring the Constitution is a journey that never really ends.
Never does.
And Bolling v. Sharpe is a landmark case along the way.
It is.
It reminds us of how powerful legal strategy can be
Right.
and how nuanced constitutional interpretation is.
It's complex stuff.
And it shows that the fight for equality under the law, well, that's a fight that's still going on.